This is in our video, A Sure Word of Prophecy, and I'm just going to kind of mind the Lord this weekend. And if I feel like chasing a rabbit, then y'all get ready. We're going to chase some rabbits. Amen? Okay? So, I like to put, when I do stuff like this, I like to put verses on the screen. But if you want to follow along in your Bible, be my guest just to make sure that I got it right up there. Amen? Because I might mess up and make a mistake, or my computer may not have copied and pasted in the correct fashion. So I just want to get it right. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Now I want to ask you, do you think that God is in the revelation business? Say amen. God is definitely in the revelation business, and God wants to reveal things to His people. Now in the Old Testament, God kept things secret. I mean, there was types and pictures of Christ all throughout the Old Testament, but they did not understand. I want you to think about things that you don't understand and how that relates to the Old Testament. What was Moses' particular problem that he had in life? When God called Moses to go, He told him, said, go tell Pharaoh, let set my people free. What was the deal that Moses told God why he shouldn't be the one to go? What was that? He was a stammerer of speech and he was a stutterer. Okay? And so he had to have someone, his high priest Aaron or his brother Aaron, go and speak for him. And the reason is, Paul explains this when he's talking about revealing things. He talks about, he said, we use plainness of speech and not as Moses. The reason why God called Moses a stutterer and a stammerer is stuttering is language that you cannot understand. It's not, you just cannot understand someone that has a severe stuttering problem. By the way, what do you hear when you go in some of these churches? You hear stuttering and stammering. Okay? And God is not in that because it is not understood. Can I hear some people say amen? Now listen, I'm going to ask you about every 5 minutes to make sure you're awake, say amen. Okay? So you just might as well let out with one every now and then without me asking for it. All right? That's going to let me know that y'all are with us and not ready to go back to Iowa or Florida or whatever it is. All right? So anyway, God had always intended that He was going to reveal His secrets. It's just the problem is, if you're a Jew and all you read is the Old Testament, you will not have those things revealed. Paul said, watch now, I like this. I see it. God gives us pictures in every aspect of life. Paul said that blindness in part has happened to Israel. Now, God's given us how many eyes? My case, 4. Okay? He's given us 2 eyes. How many testaments do we have in our Bible? 2. And one just happens to be on the left side, one just happens to be on the right side. Okay? And this is, see, I just see things like this. When God said blindness in part has happened to Israel, you know what's happened? They only got one eye. They can only see half of the Word of God. And since they can only see half of the Word of God, they will not get the whole picture of the truth. That's why Jews to this day, they sit there in their synagogues and read the Torah all day long, and they will never be saved because they do not have the other half of the Bible. In fact, it has become exactly what God told them it would become. It's become a stumbling block to them. No Jew will ever be caught dead reading anything out of the New Testament, out of the Goyim Bible, they call it. They will not read the Gentile Bible. They won't touch it because it's a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to them. And that's why they're still living in blindness. Can I hear God's people say amen? That God always intended to reveal His secrets. He said, but those things which are revealed unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Now, I like this. Because here we're laying another ideology, another story, is that God is not a mystery religion. He's not. He is not a mystery. He's not up there with a bunch of laws that only He knows about that He did not tell mankind. If God tells you the law, if God wants you to keep the law, then He'll tell you the law. Amen? So what municipality in this country will you ever drive through where they will not post speed limits when you drive through the town? If they want you to drive 35 miles an hour through their streets, they'd better have it posted. Okay? Because I think you could probably get out of it pretty easily if you were driving down the road somewhere and all of a sudden some cop pulls you over, wants to write you a big old fat ticket and says, well, you were breaking the speed limit. Said, no, the last speed limit I signed said 55 miles an hour. He said, oh, no. Once you get past this tree over here, we change that to 35 miles an hour. They got to notify you, don't they? That would be right. And God said, I've got laws, and I revealed my laws to you, so you are, just like Paul said in Romans, you are without excuse. Somebody say amen. So God revealed them. Now watch this. Here's the contrast to this. Here is the opposite. And I see opposites in the Bible. So we have God's way. God is revealing things to mankind. Who is it then that wants to conceal them? The devil. And he wants you to think that God is a concealer. So he goes in Genesis chapter 3, he goes to Eve and listen to what he said. He said, number one, yea, hath God said. Casting doubt upon the word of God. Did God say this? And then he said, ye shall not surely die. He's contradicting the word of God and promising her immortality. You know what he's telling her? Listen to this. He's telling Eve that you can go ahead and break God's commandment and still live. How many people do you know of that are buying into that same lie right now? That you can live however you want to, that you can break God's law, and you can still live being a violator of God's law. He tried to tell her that, and then he said, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, ye shall be as gods, knowing good. Your eyes shall be open, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The devil was trying to slip in a mystery doctrine, saying to her that God had a secret doctrine that he had not revealed and wasn't going to reveal. But he was going to be the light bearer. That's what Lucifer means. He was going to be the bearer of light and show her the real truth. And we can see, we can see it in the emerging church movement. We can see it in the New Age stuff moving through the church. We can see it in just about every false movement in the church right now. We can see a serpent-born doctrine that's telling people that God has some new thing that He never spoke of in His Word. I actually had a guy tell me, because there was manifestations going on in his church, Arlene, he said, not everything that God does is in the Bible. Now, what I didn't think of at the time, what I should have asked him was, okay, show me that in the Bible. Because surely, and we'll see this verse in a minute, surely the Lord God doeth nothing, but He revealeth what? His secret to His servants, the prophets. And I'm here to tell you that if God's going to do anything in this, how many of y'all believe in Bible prophecy? Say amen. You believe God's ready to do something in this world. Amen? I tell these people all the time, they laugh, but I tell them, every time California does something stupid, they catch on fire. Have you noticed that? They're burning right now, and here they have done something stupid again. Amen? I don't know what it's going to take for them to just slide off into the Pacific Ocean, but I'm here to tell you that God is going to do something on this earth, and He may be doing it very soon. And I promise you that everything that God does in this world is already written right here. And if anybody tells you, here's what happened. And I looked into this. When God said, let's study Bible prophecy, I was hungry. And I went to hear a guy that said he had visions from God of what God was going to do in this country. And so I went and I listened to him and I wrote down every word this guy said. That was January 1998. Okay? 12 years later, not a single thing that guy said was going to happen, happened. Not one. What is the test of a prophet, by the way? How often does he have to be right? 100%. And so, you're not only a false prophet, you're a real bad one if everything that you say and none of it happens. Okay? So, anyway. But anyway, dreams and visions, you have people run around, they're having dreams all the time of, oh, God, show me a vision. I went to a meeting down in Birmingham, Alabama, doing a meeting down there, and while I was there, this guy come in the room, And he was some kind of preacher from down in that area. And he went about everybody telling everybody that God had given him vision of 9/11. That I had a vision of 9/11. Oh, I had a dream of 9/11. God showed me what was going to happen in 9/11. And the only thing I think of was, why weren't you down there warning everybody? If you knew this was going to happen, why weren't you down there telling the truth? Telling to blow the trumpet on those people and tell them the truth. You know what it was? He was using that as a spiritual cover. He was a fake and a phony, and I knew it when he walked in the door and he's going around telling everybody, making everybody think he's some big spiritual thing, and that's what's behind all these dreams and visions that everybody's having down there. Oh, God gave me a vision. Oh, God gave me a dream. And oh, God's going to do this and God's going to do that. Well, I'm here to tell you that if it's not in this Bible, God's not interested in doing it. That's just exactly what I believe, and that's what we stand for in this church, and this is what I'm going to preach until the Lord calls me home. If he's going to do it, it's right here in this Bible. And by the way, I wouldn't have it any other way, because I've been in situations in life, Gary, where I tell you what, it'd just be a total mess and a total wreck. And I'd say, God, what is going on here? And God said, I'm going to show you something. And God would have me read Scripture. And God say, this is what's going on right here. This is exactly what's happening. How many of you know that to be true? Say amen. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm having fun already. Amen. That we may do all the words of this law. Psalm 25:14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. Now God plainly reveals His entire plan right here in black and white in this book. The problem is, lost people will never get it. They will never believe it. They'll never follow it, even though it's written down plainly. Paul said we use plainness of speech now. I mean, how hard is it to understand, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life? How hard is that to believe and understand that? Amen? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. See, that sounds pretty simple to understand. And God reveals that. But there are things in here that people are not going to get because they're full of sin. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear them, and He will show them His covenant. Proverbs 3:32. For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but His secret is with the righteous. And here again, I believe in these days, in these last days, God is going to reveal what's in this book. Prophecy by its very... when you see, especially in the New Testament, usually prophecy is better understood after the event has happened. So in the days of Christ's resurrection, the disciples then, they're getting it. Because during the time when Christ was on the earth, He was telling them, hey, I'm going to Jerusalem, they're going to hang me on a cross, I'm going to be dead for 3 days, and I'm coming back to life again. And they're going, what's He talking about? What did He say? I don't get it. And then after His resurrection, they went, He told us that. And so on the day of Pentecost, the first sermon preached, Peter stands up and says, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Notice that Peter did not get up and say, God's doing some new thing. It's not in the Bible, but we know that it's... Notice that Peter did not do that. What had taken place was following exactly what the prophets said. You believe the Word of God tonight, say amen. His secret is with the righteous. The Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayer of the righteous. Aren't you glad of that? And by the way, who's a righteous man? Who's a righteous man? What does it take to be righteous? Gary, what does it take to be righteous? Huh? The blood of Jesus Christ. If I were to ask you tonight to stand up and tell us about 15 of your most major sins, we would probably not have a very... Yeah, we would not have a good service. How many of you in here are sinners? Say amen. Amen. So, we're not righteous because of what we have done. We're righteous because who we believed. Amen? And we believed what God said. And we decided that we're not going to be the Bible college scholars who say, now, this is a translational error, and the Bible doesn't really say this. That's what we decided. Can I hear you say amen? That's what we decided. Okay? The Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayer of the righteous. Colossians 3:10. Notice this. And have put on the new man, which is renewed how? In knowledge. Most of y'all, I'm gathering, are church people. And you've been around church people for a long time. How many of you know a lot of church people whose knowledge of the Bible is about as shallow as a teaspoon? How many of y'all know people? Raise your hands. It's okay. They don't know you're here because they're not watching. Amen? I guarantee you, they're not watching. Most church members' knowledge and their knowledge is based upon their hunger. And your average church member is more hungry for the things of the world than they are the things of the Lord. And they don't want to hear it. They don't care. And they don't know. But I'm telling you, when God makes a Christian, He renews them. How? In knowledge. God's people know. Let me ask you a question. Did Noah know? He not only knew 120 years beforehand, he knew the very day. Because God had told him 7 days before, yet 7 days and I'll destroy the world. Noah knew the very day that it was going to happen. Y'all believe the Bible? Say amen. Did Elijah know what was going to happen on the day he was translated? Sure he knew. He knew. And God's people are people of knowing. They're not people of unknowing. Henry Nouwen, one of these Catholic mystics, writes a book. I think it's Henry Nouwen. It may have been these monks that wrote it. But there's this book about Christian mysticism called The Cloud of Unknowing. And it teaches people. This book is now one of the main primers of what's going on in the emerging church movement. That it's teaching pastors and church members that a better Christianity than what they have is more in silence and knowing, not knowing, than in preaching and knowing. Did I say that right? Did I make that sense? The book Cloud of Unknowing basically says that God can be seen in the very darkness and the haze that is on the inside of us. In other words, He's a mystery God. They're serving the wrong one. They call Him God, but He's not really God. They call Him Jesus, but He is not the real Jesus. He is, as Paul said, another Jesus. And the sad truth of it is, millions of people in the United States, Canada, and in the rest of the world say that they're following Jesus. But the truth of it is, they wouldn't know Him if they were looking at Him face to face. Because they have been led to another Jesus. They have been led to a Jesus that is not clearly identified in the pages of this book. And isn't the devil a genius in removing the exact description of not only who Christ is, but how He's coming, by removing that out of the churches so that He could lead them in the direction of the other Jesus? He's pretty smart, isn't He? Pretty smart. Okay? Have put on the new man which is renewed in knowledge. My people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. So read your Bible. Read your Bible. When God put me in this ministry, God, I was starving to death. And I'd been in church all my life. I'd been preaching. And really, God made me so hungry. I just started consuming this. I would just sit for hours and read and read and read and read. And God, I want to know. God, I want to. I'm the kid that when I go to the library in public school when I was growing up, I was going after the UFO books, the Bigfoot books, the Loch Ness Monster books, and every mystery that there was out there. That's what I wanted to know about. And I still want to know if there's a Bigfoot. I want to know if there's a Loch Ness Monster. I want to know secrets. I want to know mysteries. I want to have them revealed. And so God used that hunger, and I'm reading the Bible and I would come upon something and I would say, God, I don't understand this. And God said, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. So I asked God, God, where's the Bible? God said, it's right here. It's been there all along. My faithful friend has never left me, but I left it. And I said, God, is there going to be a rapture? And God said, let me teach you the rapture. I believe that the Lord Himself is going to descend from heaven with a and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to... I've had people call me and say, you know, Pastor, you know, I like your stuff, but you teach that rapture, and everybody knows the Catholic Church invented that one. And I said, no. No, God said that we're going to rise. Amen. And we're going to meet the Lord in the air. And so I don't care what somebody dreamed up 50, 100, 200 years ago or 500 years ago. I don't care. I believe this Bible and God put it in my heart. And I tell you what, one of these days, we're going to meet Jesus in the air. Somebody say amen. But see, that's knowledge. Because if you ask a lot of church members, you're going to be in the rapture? Yeah, I believe in the rapture. Can you show me that in the Bible? Well, you ought to read this Tim LaHaye book because it's really neat. They can't show you, Bruce. They can't tell you. They saw a movie or they read a book. And that is the depth of their knowledge. And they're going to be destroyed. They are the seeds that have fallen upon stony ground. And boy, it sounds real good. But because there's no root in them, the sun's going to come out and God's going to come with fervent heat. It's going to dry them all up. We have a lot of church people. And I'm not saying Christians. I'm saying church people. We have a lot of church people that are about this shallow in the Lord. This is why the false doctrines can come in. This is why certain men can creep in unaware and change their whole belief system. You believe that? Say amen. Oh, let's see here. God said in Isaiah 45, I have not spoken in secret. Look at what He said. He said, I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. So here again, if we want to know how to live, will this Bible tell us how to live? If we want to know, if we want to have successful marriages, will this Bible tell us how to have successful marriages? If we want to have, if we want to raise kids that will serve the Lord someday in their life, will this Bible not teach us how to have those kids? Will this Bible teach us how to work our jobs every day, so that we're not a reproach anymore? Will this Bible teach us how to run our businesses? Will this Bible teach us if Barack Obama would read and believe this Bible, we would once again be the strength of the entire world in this nation. I believe that. And here in this church, if you come to our Sunday morning, every now and then you're going to hear us pray, God, save Barack Obama. God, save the President of the United States. So give him a Bible. He held one in his hand once that I know of. It was on national television and he had a Bible in his hand. Oh, that he would read it and believe the Word of God. And he would lead. This Bible has the answer to every aspect of our lives. And something that there's been people who've come in and out of this church that hate it because I preach this Bible has an answer to every area of life. And what most church members are taught is that the Bible, yes, it's good to tell somebody that they can go to heaven, but as far as running their marriage and teach them how to raise their kids and how they go to work and how they're supposed to vote and all these other things that people don't want you preaching on, the Bible doesn't really is not really relevant and doesn't say that, and you really shouldn't be preaching it because you're just mingling with people. And I'm here to tell you, this Bible will tell you how to vote. This Bible will tell you everything that you need. It is not only the book of life, it is the book of your life. Okay? And it will lead you and guide you. But pastors have to, you know, these guys, and you, some of you have heard them. These pastors come in with these new sermons, and they're not Bible-based. Even fundamental preachers. I've been to a lot of camp meetings, and you were with me that one year. We went to this camp meeting down there, and I know some good guys down there. I mean, just preaching King James Bible all over the place. And I'd hear a guy, he'd quote it, he'd start out a sermon and quote a verse of Scripture, and for 30 minutes he'd preach a message and never reference the Scripture one time. That is not preaching the Word. Amen. It sounded good, but it's not the Word of God. And this is why we have no power in our churches anymore, people. Okay? I have not spoken a secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Deuteronomy 30. For this commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. it is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it. Do you understand what he's getting at here? He said, neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh unto thee in thy mouth and in thy heart that thou mayest do it. Now Paul quoted that same verse there when he's talking about how a man could be saved. And here again, get this idea. This is in stark contrast to mystery religion. In most mystery religions, what you would do is that if you wanted to know something from God, let's pick the god Apollo. The god Apollo was a half human, half god. Ring a bell? Okay, there's a bunch of those. Half man, half god. By the way, this movie, Percy Jackson, The Lightning Thief, this boy... The opening scene, and I've only seen 5 minutes of this movie. The opening scene is this boy who is half human, half God, and he's at the bottom of a pool, and he's there under the water, and then you see him rising up out of the water. He's now, you get that? John said, I saw a beast rising up where? Out of the sea. That is the imagery that is at the very beginning of this movie. And people are being indoctrinated in this stuff. But Apollo is the god of prophecy. And he's half man, half god. And he has a temple where there is what's called... It's the temple of Delphi. And he has what's called an oracle there. And the oracle is, there is this priestess. She is the mediator between men and the gods. Who's that nowadays? The Virgin. She's the mediatrix now, okay? But the oracle, the priestess, was the mediator between men and the gods. And men would come and give their petition to the priestess. She would go into the oracle, and there would be these virgins there inside this oracle. And she would pronounce the question or whatever it was being petitioned of the gods. And the gods would then come upon these ladies, and they would be speaking in an unknown tongue. And the only person who knew what they were saying or could decode what they were saying was the priestess. And she would write it down and then she would come out and reveal it to this guy. That's a mystery religion. Because number one, how do you know that she was telling the truth? How do you know that these ladies were actually telling the truth? How do you know anything? How is it we know anything now? It's in black and white. So if I say something stupid... Amen, Brady? And as much talking as I do, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, Watchman Bible, pure Bible study. I mean, as much talking as I do, every now and then I will say something stupid. You can count on it. What you do is send me an email. Say, Pastor Mike, you said such and such. Here's what the Scripture says. And I believe the Bible. Amen? I believe the Word of God. Is what I believe. It's the word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. Come ye near unto me, hear this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that was, there am I, and now the Lord God and His Spirit has sent me. Turn to John chapter 18, verse 20. I don't know why I had that up there, but let's turn there and let's see what God has for us. All right. John chapter 18, verse 20. See, you got to turn. I'm going to make you turn in your Bible to some places. All right. Look here. This was, okay, I know what it is. This was spoken in Isaiah. Come ye near unto me, hear this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God and His Spirit has sent me. Look at John chapter 18, verse 20. Jesus answered him, I spoke openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whether the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Jesus was the fulfillment of what He said in Isaiah. Jesus and the apostles now reveal the secrets that were kept hidden from the foundation of the world. They're now revealing them to us in the pages of our Bible. Daniel chapter 2, He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with Him. Daniel chapter 2, verse 30, But as for me, the secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living thing. And that is not what you're going to hear from the pulpits of this country. From the pulpit of this country, these pastors have all gone to Bible college and they've got a Master's of Divinity and they've got their PhDs. They are Dr. So-and-so. We're glad to have Dr. Reverend So-and-so come and preach in our pulpit. He is a man of letters and he's going to show us the Word of God. And all these guys are learning in Bible colleges how to doubt cast the Word of God. And tell you that what you have in your Bible, even though it's a King James, what you have in your Bible, that doesn't really say that. Now, who wants to go to a doctor like that? Amen? This secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living thing. And I've heard preachers argue that they ought to be paid more money because they've got degrees. That somehow, if you go to Bible college for a long time and rack up a huge debt, then that means that you should be paid more as a salary as a pastor. That's what they're telling everybody. And that's not the case. When God reveals secrets, I'm here to tell you that He doesn't do it based upon how many years that you've gone to Bible college, or how many books you've written, or how many people listen to your worldwide radio broadcast, or how you got invited to Rick Warren's church, or if you got to pray the prayer at the inauguration. That's not what that Daniel's saying. You know what? God's going to reveal a secret here, and I'm telling you that it's not because of me. It's not because of any wisdom that I have. Okay? But for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation of the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Amos chapter 3, verse 7. Here it is. Sure, the Lord God will do nothing, but He revealeth His secret unto His servants, the prophets. The strength of my life is that I can find the answers to my life inside of this King James Bible. The strength of our church here, and I didn't say the size of our church, I said the strength of our church, is that we find the answers to our problems and we are led about by the words that are inside this book here. The strength of our ministry is that, and I get emails from people all the time saying, wow, we can't believe that the Bible actually says these things. We take the Bible and we show people that that is exactly what's going on in the world according to the pages of the Bible. I recorded a Watchman broadcast today, and I had all kinds of stuff that I was going to talk about this week. And I was just going to fill your minds with all kinds of stuff. And God, I tell you what, when this decision about Proposition 8 out in California, when it came across the newswire Wednesday, I was angry. I was ticked off. I was mad. And then Thursday, I went from mad to being fearful and grieving. I'm grieving over our nation because it dawned on me yesterday and today that there is now, right now, outside of the grace of God, there is no hope for America to be right again. Listen, we're just about done. We're just about done. And instead of talking about all these other things, when I did the broadcast today, I did one news article that talked about Proposition 8 and how it was overturned by a homosexual judge. And I spent the rest of the time showing you from the Bible where America is headed as a result of it. Now, I'm glad that I've got something that I can go to that tells me where we're going. Now that we know where we're going, now we can fasten our seatbelts and get ready for the ride. Can I hear you say amen? Okay? But I'm telling you, there is no hope for America outside the grace of Jesus Christ. We have gone too far. We can't be like Josiah and remove the Sodomites out of the land. Can I tell you something? You know what I think? I think the reason why the homosexual movement has so much power in this country, you know why I think that? I think the homosexuals that are out of the closet know all the homosexuals that are still in the closet. And the homosexuals that are still in the closet are congressmen and governors and business leaders and church leaders. This is how they're able to hold and gain so much power in this country. Do you believe that? Say amen. We have the Word of God. Sure, the Lord God would do nothing but reveal it. So, is there going to be a rapture? Do you believe in the rapture? Say amen. Why do we believe in the rapture? Says it. Says it right here. Okay? Do you believe the Lord is going to come back with 10,000 saints riding on a white horse? Why do we believe that? Says it. Do you believe the Lord is going to reign 1,000 years? Why do we believe that? Says it. Well, what about the amillennials? Amillennial says, well, you know, 1,000 years really doesn't mean 1,000 years. It says 1,000 years. Amen? Amen? Okay? If you tell me that I owe you $1,000 and I say, well, that doesn't really mean $1,000. Are you going to be satisfied with that? No. And I have yet to hear an amillennial preacher who says that numbers in the Bible don't really mean anything. I have yet to hear any of them say, tithe is not really 10%. It's just whatever you want to get. Amen. Okay. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. He opened his mouth through Jesus Christ and spoke the truth. But he spoke in parables. Why? Why did he speak in parables? Because he knew the Jews wouldn't get it. And see, the Jews are deliberately kept blinded for a time. Why? Because it's not time for them yet. The Jews have been wicked now 4,000 years. Okay? Actually 2,000. From the time of Abraham to Christ, the Jews had their time. And they never really followed God. So God said, I'm going to provoke you to jealousy through the Gentiles. And there's going to come a time, my friend, and this is where this preacher believes, that God knows where each and every remnant Jew is on the earth. One of these days, the veil of Moses is going to be lifted. And they're going to see who that really is under there. Whose face shines as the sun. Can I hear God's people say amen? There is nothing hid which shall not be manifested. Neither was anything kept secret that it should come abroad. It's all going to be revealed. Let's see here. Let me move through some of this. Turn to Isaiah 28. How long y'all want to stay tonight? I mean, you drove all the way down here. See, nobody really said, man, I want to stay till midnight. Everybody's just got this nervous laugh. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Now, if you get real tired, we've got two beds downstairs. Gary and Kay said they don't mind. And I noticed Gary and Arlene come in with an RV down here. If you just want to crash in there. No, I'm just kidding. I love talking about the Bible, people. I do. I love talking about the Bible. We'll go a little bit tonight, and then we'll save our strength, and we'll come in tomorrow and eat us a good, healthy breakfast. Glazed donuts. Amen. And you know, I'm always on the level because my bubble's in the middle. Amen? Isaiah 28. Let's look at what's going on in the churches, shall we? Are there name a denomination or Christian ministry or movement in this country that is not having some sort of morality or doctrinal problems? Are the Southern Baptists having doctrinal problems? Are the Nazarenes? I have people in the who come out of the Nazarene church. They send me stuff all the time, and they've had to leave their church. Practically, almost the whole Nazarene denomination has turned over to spiritual formation and contemplative prayer. It is in every one of their Bible colleges. It is in their leaders that are sending this down the pike to all the churches. And I have Nazarene after Nazarene who are getting in contact with us saying, we can't find a church anymore. We loved our denomination. We loved our doctrine. We loved everything. We cannot find a Nazarene church anymore. That's a shame. It's a shame. At one time, God used the denominations in this country to preach the gospel to every living creature all over the world. The gospel went from this country, from the Methodists at one time. And from the Nazarenes and from everybody, from the Baptists, sent the gospel out all over the world. And now they're every one of them. Or even the independent Baptists having problems. This is where we're at. Why is it happening? Isaiah 28. Woe to the crown of pride. I will tell you that the first thing that leads a pastor astray is pride. Very first thing. Pride. We got in that church and we built that thing up to 500 people. See, we like to talk about this stuff when we have the preacher meeting gatherings. Hey, how's your church doing? Why, I'll tell you what, we increased our Sunday. We love to tell our numbers. I've been to these meetings, I know. Pride is the first one. Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim. Notice that they're drunk. By the way, I talked about this in the Watchman broadcast here a while back. The statistics now, evangelical churches, I think it was like 2 out of every 5 evangelical preachers say that there's nothing wrong with drinking alcohol. And I say that there's everything wrong with it. So no wonder we see what we're seeing. To the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower. You know what God said in Isaiah chapter 40? What did you, in fact, let me. I like this. I like this. Can I chase a rabbit for a minute? Thank you. Appreciate that. Glad I got permission. Let's see here. Where is it? The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. We expect grass to wither. Amen? See, we were hoping that when August came around, that it would quit raining and the sun beat down on it, we wouldn't have to mow the grass. Amen? Hadn't happened. We've had so much rain and we've had hot temperatures and it's just, we can't even keep up with it. Chokes the lawnmower every time we go to mow the grass. The flower fadeth, but you know what, you remember, you know what the original Bible was written on? Papyrus. You know what that is? It's grass. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Kelly, I want to see how smart you are. Okay? Let's see how you Florida's rate. How many original manuscripts from the Bible do we have? How many originals? The original parchment that Isaiah wrote on. How many of those do we have? How many original manuscripts? Just take a guess. Okay, you're close. 0. There is not now existing on this earth, unless they're in the Vatican archives somewhere, there is not now existing on this earth any original manuscripts. The very papyrus that Jeremiah wrote his words on do not exist. The very words that Paul had, what was called an amanuensis, someone who wrote down for him, the very scroll that was used does not exist. There is not one anywhere because grass withers and flowers fade. But the Word of God endureth forever. So you know what? The Bible scholars, they like to get around in their meetings and they say, now, in these, we believe the Bible's inspired in what? In the original manuscripts. You know what they're saying? The Bible does not exist. The pure words of God are in existence nowhere on the earth. And notice the drunkards of Ephraim. Their glorious beauty is a what? It's a fading flower. All of their doctrines, Jim, stand upon an ideology of a Bible that used to be inspired when it was originally written. But now, this inspiration exists nowhere. So what they're really teaching, there is no such thing as a pure Word of God. But that is in contradiction to the very pure Word of God that I have here before me. Can I hear God's people say amen? Kind of a trick question, but you were real close. Okay, so they have doctrinal problems because they're basing doctrines upon a Bible that does not exist. Okay, which are in the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. I want to ask you in here who's ever been drunk, but you've probably seen. You remember Otis, right? You remember Otis? Okay, could Otis walk a straight line? No. Could Otis speak clearly? And why did Otis come into Mayberry's sheriff's department every night? Why did he do that? He's too drunk to get home. His judgment was unclear. That's a drunk for you. Okay? Verse 2. Behold, the Lord hath a mighty and strong one. Who is that? It's Jesus Christ, which is a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing. Remember what Jesus said? As it was when? In the days of Noah. Here's that beautiful language in the King James Bible that God showed me. God, this, I'll listen, when Jesus said as it was in the days of Noah, if you'll just start reading the Bible, you'll see hints of that everywhere. And here we have a hint of it right here. As a flood of mighty waters overflowing shall cast down to the earth with the hand. Does anybody know? In fact, I was going to do the Watchman broadcast about this. The age of Aquarius. Has anybody ever heard of that? This is the dawning of the age of... Okay? The age of Aquarius is the new age. Newage. Because it rhymes with sewage. Amen? Okay, and it stinks. And the New Age movement is moving into the churches. But the New Age, the Aquarian, has a symbol. And it's two waves of water, one over the other. And Aquarius is a hermaphrodite god, male and female, that is pouring out water upon the earth. And the story of Aquarius is that he is the one who poured out the floodwaters in the days of Noah. Okay? And by the way, it is the exact opposite of the book of Revelation, because God is going to pour some things out, isn't he? So the New Age movement teaches that when this pouring out takes place, that it's going to bring us to a new age of enlightenment. But God says, oh no! When the pouring out takes place, it's my wrath. See how they think opposite that you and I do? Okay? And so notice this. As a flood of mighty waters overflowing shall cast down to the earth with the hand. By the way, I love this because the very thing that destroyed the earth is what saved Noah and his family. Amen? So watch this. Here's Jesus. And he's on a cross. And he has a crown of thorns, and he has scourge on his back, and he's naked, and he has the hair of a woman, and he's pierced, and he's bearing all of our enemies on the cross. And the very thing that destroyed the enemies of Jesus Christ and God is the very thing that saves you and I. Somebody say amen. I love to see those stories in the Bible, don't you? And Jesus said, Psalm 22, I am poured out like water. All right. Let's see here. Verse 5. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people, and for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. But they have also erred through wine and through strong drink. Now, I've got some verses up here that talk about strong drink and wine, and they're symbolic of false doctrine. So when you see people drunken in the Bible, I had a guy, and I was teaching on the Da Vinci Code about how Mystery Babylon holds a cup in her hand, and she's making people drunk all over the place. And this guy said, "Well, obviously you haven't been drunk in the Spirit." He said, "I can impart that to you if you want." I said, "Don't you put your hands on me. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be what?" See the opposite? Kenneth Hagin, I have a video clip of Kenneth Hagin, who's now dead because he didn't have enough faith to stay alive, who changed the Bible on film. He's going around laying hands on everybody and they're falling down, showing everybody their stuff. And he said, "Bible says, be filled, be drunk." He added to the Word of God and he's cursed. Because that's not what it says. Paul said, be sober and be vigilant. So when you're drunk, can you be vigilant? No, you want to go to sleep, don't you? Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a what? Why is he looking like a roaring lion, Gary? Who's the lion of the tribe of Judah? So the devil is walking about as who? The copy. He's a copycat. Okay? He's acting and he's making people think that he is Jesus. But he's not. It's a different one. So in the Roman Catholic Church, when you see this curled up, gnarled body on a cross, that's not my Savior. Because number one, my Savior does not allow idols. It's another Jesus. erred through wine and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision and they stumble in judgment. Okay? So look at these verses up here very quickly. Go ahead, very quickly. Do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. This should be a statute forever throughout your generations, and that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean. Okay? Now I hold in my hands a clean copy of the Word of God. It has zero mistakes in it. It is the Word of God. And God has taken me to a place where I can see clearly now that this Bible has zero mistakes in it. What do you hear out of most pulpits in this country? Now, in the original Greek, it says this. I like the way the NIV says such and such. In fact, they don't even do that anymore. They're just going to throw about 10 different Bible translations up on the screen. How many people do you know that go to these new churches now actually carry a Bible to church? Are they carrying Bibles to church, Arlene? Why? They don't need to. Number one, they don't know which one to pick. Number two, they got them all up on the screen. You don't need a Bible. We'll be the Roman Catholic priests and we'll tell you what God wants you to know. That's a mystery religion. Okay, see how it's turned full force, hasn't it? Okay, so anyway, if you're drunk, you cannot tell the difference between the real Bible and the fake one. You can't tell the difference. You don't know. And so the pastors say, well, all the Bibles have mistakes in them. Isn't that what they say? That's what I heard. All the Bibles have mistakes. All the translations. See, we don't know the difference between clean and unclean. Between holy Bible and unholy Bible. We don't know the difference. That's what happens. Okay? And so the new churches now are saying, so what if you're gay? It's no big deal. They're drunk. They have a mystery Babylon spirit poured out on them, and they do not know the difference between clean and unclean. Can I hear you say amen? Pastor Reg Kelly came to this church one time and he said the sins of America are to be laid at the pulpits of the churches of our country. Because they won't preach the truth. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is what? Notice the language here. Deception and wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth how? Like a serpent, and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women. That the strange woman is Mystery Babylon. And thine heart shall utter perverse things. Okay? This is what's going on. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled. Notice the contrast. Be filled with the Spirit. By the way, the real Spirit of God will not cause you to say things that are not understandable. How many of you believe that? Say amen. Will not cause you to do that. The real Spirit of God will not cause you to fall backward. You might fall forward in reverence and respect to a holy God. Somebody say amen. But falling backward is a form of judgment all throughout the Scriptures. It's called backsliding. Falling backward. Okay? Will not cause you to do that. The real Spirit of God will not cause you at times to just gyrate uncontrollably. And that's exactly what's happening. There's a family out in Washington State that I'm thinking about going out there to interview them. They told me that they have come out of this movement, that they themselves were laid hands on by Benny Hinn. And they received a Kundalini spirit inside of them. And if you don't, I've taught on that in several things. And I don't have time to teach on it tonight, but it is a serpent spirit is what it is. And they said that was ministered to them by Benny Hinn himself. And they said, by the grace of God, we were led out of this. And we're watching your videos now, Pastor Mike, and we're now seeing the truth. And I'm thinking seriously about going out there and interviewing them and getting their story so that other people can know the truth. Can I hear God's people say amen? And she's right now, she's working on their experiences in there. She's writing them all down. She's going to send them to me. And I want you to pray about that, because I think there's some people out there that have been deceived. and need to know the truth. Can I hear you say amen? If I had a video that was designed specifically for people that were in that movement, how many of you know somebody that could probably use that video? Family members. Okay? But ye brethren are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are the children of the light, children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be what? Sober. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell you to be drunk in the Spirit. That is a lie from hell. For they that sleep in the night, they that be drunken are drunken in the night. This is what they do. That is not the Holy Spirit. Is not the Holy Spirit. That is not the Holy Spirit. Yoga. You know what yoga, the word yoga means divine connection. You are connecting. When you practice yoga, you are connecting with a God. Now, what they want to tell you is that Christian yoga connects you with God, the real God. Let me correct your doctrinal errors, my friend. The only thing that connects you with God the Father is Jesus Christ. If there is another way to Him, then Christ died in vain. And I read a quote from a New Age website, and I was going to put it on broadcast this week. It's going to have to wait. But it was talking about the age of Aquarius. And one guy said, in the age of Aquarius, what we'll see is ministers teaching people that they no longer need the church or a mediator to reach God, that they can find God within themselves. They can go directly to God. That is heresy. When we pray, how do we pray? How do we end our prayers? Why do we do that? Is that just the formality, the ritual that we go through? Why do we do that? Because there is only one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And when you are yoging God, you're trying to connect with God straight through without the cross. And I want to tell you something. If you try that without the cross, God will burn you dead. God cannot even be looked at by sinful man. Somebody say amen. These people. So what God do you think they're connecting to? It's a drunken spirit. And this is being pushed all throughout. Max Lucado, see that name up there? How many of you have heard that name? He's the big dog in Christian media and film and books and all this stuff. And everybody's, oh, Max Lucado's got a new book out. Oh, Max Lucado's got this and that and the other. Max Lucado is teaching everybody that they can be still and know that they are God. And this video series is teaching contemplative prayer. We have a video called The Mystery of Contemplative Prayer. And if you don't have it yet, you ought to get it. Because I teach you in there what contemplative prayer is all about. It is about connecting to something that is on the inside of you. You know what Paul said was on the inside of you? Corruption. Amen. Paul said, in me that is in my flesh, there is what? No good thing. Okay? Think of something that the human body produces that does not stink. We're corrupt. We're rotten on the inside of us. Amen? There's no God in here. But that's what that is. It's drunkenness. Mystery Babylon the Great. That's who's leading the charge here. A sure word of prophecy. Now, let me get to this. We're going to quit with this. A sure word of prophecy versus false doctrine. This is where false doctrine comes from. Number one, speculation. Number two, guesswork. Number three, lying angels. Everybody said, had an angel visitation. Angel came and said, told me. I remember this one deal, this guy come out, and this was in 1999. He said the angel Gabriel himself came to him, visited him, and told him that Y2K was going to be started, the Great Tribulation. Whoops. He was off a little bit. So far, he's been off by 10 years. Okay? So, don't believe angels. This man came out of the Mormon church. The Mormon church was all about an angel lying to Joseph Smith and giving him another, though we or an angel from heaven bring you any other gospel, let him be accursed. And angel visitations, there are churches who are even putting up statues of angels in their lobby because this is the angel that's now leading our church. Dreams and visions. We talked about that. Papal infallibility. By the way, that applies to the denominational leaders. The denominational leaders are the people that the denominational pastors look up to and say, well, you know, our leaders will take care of this problem for us. They will guide us and steer us on how we really ought to be, and so we're going to trust in them. Don't fall for that, people. Don't fall for that. Don't even get your doctrine from the Watchman video broadcast. How dare you hinge upon every word that I say? How dare you do that? You get your Bible out and you get yourself grounded in this Bible, and then all you'll do is amen what I say because you've read it in the Scriptures. Amen? Don't listen. I don't want to be your Pope. I don't want to be your religious leader. You know who your religious leader is? Jesus Christ. I don't want it. I don't want anything to do with it. God said, Mike, open your mouth. I'm going to put some words in you. And by the way, those words come out of this book. And this that's all I am. Is I'm just going to tell you what's in this book to the best of my ability. The great treasure is here, right here in this King James Bible. Okay? External interpretation. My wife gave me years ago, commentary that Tim LaHaye wrote on the book of Revelation. Boy, I'm reading this thing. Huh? You read that? He gets in there in Revelation 10 where it talks about the seven thunders. Tim LaHaye says, now, the seven thunders are the seven stages of the Roman Empire. And I read that and I'm going, where did he get that from? I never read in the Bible that there were seven stages of the Roman Empire. Why weren't there six? Why weren't there eight? Why weren't there nine and a half? He went outside of the Scriptures to explain something in the Scriptures. And that is not what God said do. God said compare spiritual things with what? Spiritual things. So if you want to know what the seven thunders are, by the way, John didn't write them down. But I believe they're written down. Amen? John didn't write them. But I believe they're written down. So if you want to know what the seven thunders are, number one, ask God. Number two, and when He's getting ready to show you, He's going to show it to you in this book. Okay? When I started asking God, God, show me this, God, show me that, God showed it to me in the pages of this book right here. Okay? This is final authority on every doctrinal issue that we have. Can I hear you say amen? Final authority. And some people, they'll call our church. I mean, you know, we're just a church is all we are right now. I mean, that's all we are. We're just Bethel Church. We used to be part of the Free Will Baptist. We're not. We can't handle the NIV being preached out of a pulpit. So we just said, you know what? We're not going to do that anymore. So we're just a church. People said, well, what's your doctrinal statement? I said, start reading in Genesis 1 and read to Revelation 22:21. When you get to the end, that is our doctrinal statement. We believe every word in the King James Bible. Amen? Yeah, and what a novel approach. I cannot write to you every doctrine that I believe, because every doctrine that I believe has already been written down in here. And I may not understand it all, and I don't. I'm here to tell you I understand. I seem like what I know about Bible doctrine is about that thick. But when I read things in this Bible, I believe it. I believe it. Okay? Lying signs and wonders. Be careful. Okay, and that's what's going on. But here we have a sure word, no private interpretation. That means no Hebrew and Greek lessons during a sermon. How many preachers have you heard that said, now in the original Greek, it says, how many of you have heard sermons like that? They're all over the place. And I used to do it. And my wife would say, would you cut that out? She would. Would you quit that Greek stuff? And I'd get mad at her. You know what? I'd still pay off student loans from learning that Greek stuff. I kid you not, went to two Bible colleges. I made a B+ in elementary Greek and a D- in a course on the book of Revelation. I kid you not. Almost flunked the course on Bible prophecy. But I did pretty good in the Greek class. this book is its own interpreter. Somebody wrote me the other day, and he's been writing me for a long time, but I think he's mad at me now. Because somebody came to him, Gary, and said, "Now, you know, the King James, that's good. You know, you're using the King James. But you really have to get into the Greek and Hebrew and really to understand, because not all the words are right in there." And he gave the illustration, you know, like the word suffer. He said, you know, the word suffer, we use the word suffer like, you know, oh boy, I'm suffering. He said, it doesn't really mean that. It means allow. And I wrote him back and I said, I just believe that the Bible is its own best interpretation tool. And if you ever see a word in there, you're not sure what it means, just keep reading because God will explain it. And I wrote, the word suffer means to not forbid. Suffer the little children to come unto me and what? Forbid them not. God told you the definition of the word right in the very same verse. See, that's what I'm getting at, people. We have got, in our churches, we've gone so far away from the truth. Is that preachers refuse to believe that the truth can be contained in one translation of the Bible. They won't. They don't buy it. They can't handle it because they're going to lose their friends. They're going to lose the denominational leaderships. They're going to lose all that money they spent in college. They're going to lose all of that if they just believe one Bible. But everything that I know has been as a result as I decided to stop retranslating the Bible. I believe that every word in this English Bible is perfect. And I do not need to change it. It, however, needs to change me. Holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Virginia Mallinckrodt was one of the helper translators of the NIV Bible. She was as queer as a $3 bill. She was not led by the Holy Ghost to have the word sodomite removed out of the Bible. Amen? The Holy Bible is the highest and final authority. Do you believe that? Say amen. But others say the Bible is subject to dreams and visions. Well, I know the Bible says this, but God told me Himself. Kenneth Copeland goes around telling everybody that God tells him stuff all the time that it's not in the Bible. And really what he's trying to do, he's trying to tell you that he himself is a pope over these people. Because he has established himself as authority higher than the Word of God. And the Bible says, let God be true and what? Every man a liar. So it's not subject. They say the Bible is subject to dreams and visions. Or the Bible is subject to archaeology. If archaeology says that there never was a Jericho, then you know what? There's never a Jericho. There was never a Jericho. And that's what they say. If the archaeology says that the earth is 15 million years old, then the earth is 15 million years ago, and the Bible's wrong when it says 6. The Bible probably doesn't mean that anyway. But I believe the Bible's 6,000 years old. I believe God created the heaven and the earth in how many days? And that's not eras. That's the evening and the morning. God even told you how long it was. It was evening and morning. It was the first day. That was one day. It's not subject to archaeology. The Bible's not subject to science, falsely so-called. Amen? It's not subject to that. If the Bible says that the sun stood still, then guess what happened? Why have we believed everything else except the Bible? Okay? Experience and emotions. And I've had people who've had these Pentecostal experiences. And I spoke in tongues. Oh, this and that and the other. And I'd say, show me that in the Bible. Well, I can't, but it felt right. I had an experience, and we have billboards in St. Louis that says, come to such and such church, for God must be experienced. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to give you a dose of spiritual LSD to get you hooked into going back to their church. They're little drug dealers is what they are. They're dealing out these little doses of feel-good stuff when you go to their church because you experience a high in their church. And that gets you going back. God's not in that. Opinions are experts of Christian leaders. Max Lucado is not Jesus Christ. Okay? Name somebody else. Bigwig Christian leaders. James Dobson is not Jesus Christ. Okay? Huh? Jerry Falwell is not... He's dead now. He's not anything. Jerry Falwell is not Jesus Christ. Okay? Billy Graham is not Jesus Christ. Your spiritual leader is your Messiah, Jesus Christ. That's who is your spiritual leader. And when it comes to believing these guys, and most people just sit and blindly follow how these men lead them, and that's the problem why we got in this country. And that includes most helps or application Bibles. I have, in fact, you know what? I've got it up here, I think. I have, oh, here it is, right next to this Book of Mormon. By the way, this is not the Word of God. Amen. This is an addition to the Word of God. Here it is. I bought this for my wife. It is an NIV Life Application Bible. Not only is it the wrong translation, where they have missing 64,000 less words in this book, but these little commentaries here on the bottom are full of deadly poison. You do not need these commentaries. What you need is to read this, and then read this, and then read this, and all of a sudden God starts giving you light. God refused. When God said, we're going to study Bible prophecy, I said, fantastic, God, I want to go read some Bible prophecy books. And God put it, said, arr! No. And I'm so glad that He did that. Because what I have found in this book trumps anything I would have ever learned. I probably would have learned it wrong to begin with. And you don't know some of these guys. Who am I trying to think of? There's somebody, he's big, he writes Bible prophecy books. I mean, huh? No. I can't think of his name. But he writes these Bible prophecy books, and everybody thinks, oh man, look what he's got coming out now. I got one of his books in my office. He shows up, there's a video clip I have, in fact, on this video, The Sure Word of Prophecy, he shows up in this video. Here's Kenneth Copeland and Rodney Howard Brown talking in tongues upon the stage in a drunken stupor. And then they call this guy, Mike Evans, who writes these prophecy books. Everybody buys these books. Mike Evans comes out, they call him out on the stage, and they make him drunk in the spirit, and he falls down backwards like a drunk man. And he hears Kenneth Copeland, take a deep drink of the Holy Ghost. That man is a spiritual drunk, and he is leading people astray in Bible prophecy. And had I had my way, I've been reading his books and passing that puke along to you. And I'm so glad that God had another way. God has a better way for us. Can I hear you say amen? Read this Bible. Know this Bible. Study this Bible. So when the time comes and there is a choice offered to mankind of the real Jesus or the fake one, you will know the real one. Can I hear you say amen?